The Smithsonian Museum has more than 137 million pieces in its collection, but fewer than 2% are on display. Now, most of the time, museums don't show their entire collection simply because they don't have the exhibit space. But sometimes there are more interesting stories behind the things that are hidden away. The items are offensive and sometimes too dangerous to put out. Well, travel writer Harriet Baskus tracked down some of those stories for her latest book. It's called Hidden Treasures, What Museums Can't or Won't Show You. KUOW's Marcy Silman sat down with Harriet Baskus.
Well, for a museum, a hidden treasure is something that is in the back room that a museum won't, can't, shouldn't sometimes, or just doesn't bring out ever or very often.
And when did you start on this search for these hidden treasures?
More than two decades ago. In fact, I probably was here talking with you about this book. I was going around the Northwest visiting all of the museums before the days of the internet when you could cheat and look online. And I was writing a book about it was a guide to all the museums. And I went to as many as I could, hundreds we have in the Northwest. And a lot of them, nobody had been there for a while. No one had signed the guest book for a while. So I started asking questions to be polite. And one day someone said to me, well, if you think that's interesting, you should see what we have in the back room.
So somebody took you behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. And it turned out to be, that was a very small museum. And that day it turned out to be some rare Native American artifacts that were just too valuable for this tiny museum to show.
So that's what I think of when I hear treasure is something valuable. In this new book, treasure really is it is in the eye of the beholder. You have different kinds of categories. There's sort of the sweet hidden things. There are the gruesome hidden things. And then there are what I think of as the questionable treasures, things that are, as the word provenance in museum lingo, that people are not really sure that they really are those things, but they have them in the collection anyway.
Yeah, because some things are, if they are what they thought they are, then they don't want to get rid of them. But if they're not, why show them?
For example,
here in Seattle, the Experience Music Project has some clothing that may or may not be related to musicians. They've got some Jimi Hendrix clothes that looks like the kind of things he might have worn, but they don't really know for sure. They can't find a picture of him wearing it. They've got a cap that looks like the cap that Kurt Cobain might have worn, but again, they don't know for sure. And the curators there said, we're not going to get rid of it just in case, but we really have other things that are more real that we can show.
Do they collect these artifacts intentionally, or do people give them to the museums?
I think a lot of times they're given to the museums, and so many museums have been around so long, there's things that are in the collection that somebody thought was something a long time ago and turns out not to be.
I'm talking with Harriet Baskus. Her new book is called Hidden Treasures, What Museums Can't or Won't Show You. And I have to say, the gruesome things are the reason that we like scary movies is the same thing that we're drawn to gruesome things. And there is a museum, I believe, of osteopathy, if I'm not mistaken, and they have perhaps the most gruesome thing that's included in this new book. It's a human skin wallet.
Yes, gruesome is in the eye of the beholder. There might be other gruesome things. But yeah, this one, I was really surprised. I put out a national call for things, and this was one of the first things that came in, and it's from the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine in Kirksville, Missouri, and that's where osteopathy was established, where the first school was established. And like a lot of medical schools, and they would call themselves a medical school, their students practiced on cadavers. And in the 30s or even before that school started in the late 1800s, they weren't as respectful of cadavers as they are now, as what the curator said. And so a student took some skin and had two wallets made. And it's got white skin on the outside, black skin on the inside. And it's like, it kind of looks to me like one of those wallets you would make in summer camp.
It surely does, because it's got that sort of rough stitching along the borders of it. At one time, was this particular wallet on display at the museum?
It was on display. And some other what I would call gruesome surgical things. Other things are on display, but they put this away because in Missouri they were talking about stem cell research, and which was very controversial. So the museum was asked to put that away because it had some connection, they thought.
You've got a picture of it. It's quite, it looks like a regular wallet, I guess.
Like a summer camp wallet.
It does. Well, I'm not sure that this next item is gruesome, but it was fascinating to me. And it's at, I think, the Museum of Glass. It is, you know, there's a lot of things at the Museum of Glass, which is not the Tacoma Museum of Glass, but affiliated with Corning.
Corning, New York, yeah.
And I'm sure there are plates and cups and saucers and things there. But this particular item surprised me.
Well, they've got everything to do with the history of glass. And they've got beautiful things and unusual things. And then way up on a shelf in the back room, they have a glass coffin. It's like 600 or 700 pounds. I actually went and visited and did a radio story about it a long time ago. And when we think of a glass coffin, we think of, I guess, Dracula or Snow White, that there would be somebody you could see inside.
Right, a clear glass. Yeah.
But it doesn't look like that at all. It actually is kind of pretty because it's covered in doe skin. And it was made in the late 1800s, and they were going to sell these as coffins that nothing could get in and nobody could get out.
Well, it is gruesome then.
Yeah.
So a little bit like a sort of a Dracula coffin,
yeah.
Right?
But it was very pretty, but they only made a couple of them, probably because they were so heavy and unreasonable to use. And the museum keeps it in the back room, they said, because no matter where you put it in the museum, it will make it look like a funeral parlor.
Harriet Baskis is with me. She's the author of a new book called Hidden Treasures, What Museums Can't or Won't Show You. Another, I thought, peculiar, if not gruesome, artifact was a lovely statue that is at, I'm not sure if it's the University of Pennsylvania or Pennsylvania State University.
It's the University of Pennsylvania Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology, shortened to the Penn Museum.
The Penn Museum. I have got to live in Pennsylvania to get the lingo. So they have, this is a museum of archaeology, they have some ancient art, which,
yes,
of course, you would find in this kind of museum, except it's not your basic ancient art.
No, like a lot of places, they've got something that's too dangerous to display. So they have this statue that was made to look like a Taoist sage. The whole thing is an image of longevity, but they made it out of this arsenic-like substance that if you touched it, it was dangerous. It could hurt you. So the idea was you would touch it, and it would give you a little bit of the, I don't know, zest to live of longevity. But the problem was if you touched these things too much, you died.
Did not lead to longevity.
Right.
So they have this, and they're not displaying it at all, not even in a glass case?
No, they don't. They displayed it at one time, and then I think like a lot of museums, they figured out, oh, this is maybe not such a good idea, and it also changes color in the light. So they put it away, and they now have a big sign on it that says danger, which I don't think it did originally.
You mentioned that your first foray out into the world of museums were to these little kind of quirky museums in the Northwest. A lot of the treasures that are in this book are at established larger institutions. Does every museum have a back room where with stuff? And if so, have you been to all those museums?
Yeah. It seems like they would, because every museum will say, small or large, we only have room to show 5 to 10% of our things, whether it's the Smithsonian or whether it's the Museum of Light Bulbs. And so a lot of times they don't show everything because it's not time. It doesn't fit with the theme. There's no space. It's too fragile. But there's all these other reasons, which to me are much more interesting.
That's Harriet Baskis, author of the new book, Hidden Treasures, What Museums Can't or Won't Show You.